Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Praise God. Brother Don Herring has been coming to this church for how long? 6 years. And he is the son-in-law to Dr. Virgil Stone, who we all love, a pastor from Alabama. And Don's been a pastor many years. Oh, my goodness. He's done a little bit of everything. He worked for the CIA. And I mean, he's done a little bit of everything, you know. So don't mess with him. Don't get him mad. But he's an excellent preacher. And he's my friend, and he's our brother in the Lord, and he's got a word for us tonight. And so just make him welcome, would you? We just welcome you, Don.
I get more than 3 minutes from taking up the offering tonight. Hallelujah. I walked into the door when nobody was here when I first got here about an hour and a half ago. And the Lord reminded me of a scripture over in the book of Daniel, how Daniel closed out his book. He said, "Go your way, Daniel," the Lord said, "for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined." There is a refining process going on in the body of Christ right now. Matter of fact, it says judgment was going to begin in the house of God. And right now, there's a lot of things that are going on in the world. I know that Brother Larry gave me one of these books called The Mystery of the Shemitah. I don't know if you've ever known much about it. How many of you read that book, The Harbinger? Did you happen to read that? There's a lot of things that are being said in there, prophetic-wise, that are coming to pass. And when I started praying about several days ago about, what does the Lord want me to speak on? What are you saying? It's not important what I say. It's important what God says. And on this book, I wanted to read this little paragraph here. And I guess if you get the book, then maybe you'll understand. Look it up on the internet. It says, "The mystery that begins in the wilderness of Sinai has a large context, judgment. The Shemitah can bring blessing or judgment to a nation that has turned against the God of its foundation and driven him out of its life. The Shemitah comes as a sign of judgment that specifically strikes that nation's source of blessings and sustenance, its financial and economic realm. Is it possible that if such a national apostasy grows more marked and severe, that the signs of the Shemitah will likewise grow more marked and severe accordingly? And is it possible that we are already witnessing this phenomenon? We now move to another stage in which the mystery of the Shemitah will combine with the mystery of the harbingers. It will do so in the form of calamity of national and global proportions." Sounds sobering, doesn't it? But the Lord told us that there was going to be signs that we're supposed to look for before he comes. And when I started to look, and I said, "Lord, what do you want to speak tonight?" And it came out in such a way that it revised itself 4 or 5 times. Pastor will be familiar with that, because what you start out with is not necessarily what you get. And so it went on, and it looked like as it was continuing to go on that there was a word of prophecy within it, there was a teaching within it, and there was an alarm within it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, you could throw that up on the board. Beginning in verse number 1, it says this. Let me encourage you too here. It's one thing to look up on the screen and see it, but you know, sometimes you need to get into your own word and find out what certain things are and highlight it, underline it, write little notes by it like that, so as that when you go back, you'll remember it. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Next. "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Next. "When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman and with child, and they shall not escape." Next. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Continue to go on. Yea, we are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Next. I'm actually going to stop at that point. What it's saying right here is that there's some things about to happen on the earth that if you're sensitive to the moving of the Spirit, you know that things are not normal. Things are continue to go on in such a way now that we're seeing things that we didn't see before. And you can't hide your head in the ground and believe that it's all going to pass over. For the Christians, there's hope. For the unbeliever, there's not a lot of hope. And so what I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, what are you doing with Grace Tabernacle? What are we doing? From the very first time that I came, I witnessed the fact that there was a lot of needs out there that God is about to start opening the doors and sending in multitudes of people that have got hurts. If you go down the street, I live in the villages, if you move around anywhere around this area, you can just, if you're sensitive to the Lord, you can see that there's a lot of things going on in people's lives that they really, really, really need a touch of the Lord. Over in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 5, it says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Go ahead. Next. Well, I'm going to have to read it on myself. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you got your Bibles, if you would turn over there for a moment. Pastor was doing a series not too long ago on 1 Peter. And over in chapter number 5, verse number 5, it says, in like manner, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, therefore, in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Can you say amen to that? Luke chapter number 10. I'm going to be jumping all over the place, so you're going to have to bear with me because I put it together the way the Lord told me to do it. Luke chapter number 10 is a very familiar story. It's a story one that probably one of the first ones that you probably read about a long time ago. And it starts in chapter 10, verse number 25. Verse 25 says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he said, answering, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, you've answered right, this do and you'll live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And then the story begins, very familiar. And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I want to stop there for just a moment and say, how many times do we pass by situations every day? I know that I go into the grocery store. I can go anywhere in the villages. It doesn't have to be the villages. It can be Leesburg or Lady Lake, anywhere. And I see needs out there that sometimes when we see something and the Holy Spirit is making us sensitive to a need there, we even as ministers, or we even as people of God, walk by them with that hurt still continue to go on, when in fact we could have stopped and we could have rendered mercy. I remember not too long ago I was in the store and I passed by the pharmacy, and I know down here you go to the pharmacy and there's a lot of people getting prescriptions. You don't have any here, do you? You're not taking anything. No, I know you're not taking anything. And I walked by, and there was a lady sitting there, and she looked like she was really, something was wrong. And as it would be in the story here, I decided to pass on by. It was none of my business. And I did pass by, and the Holy Spirit just pricked me at that point and said, I didn't bring you in front of her and put her in your path here for you to walk by. That was a rebuke. And I walked back, and I said, ma'am, are you all right? Can I help you in some way? And she said, I've got so many things that there's no way you could help me with all of them. I said, but I know someone who can. And I said, may I pray for you? And she said, please, no one else has. That's an indictment, folks. Everybody else was too busy. And so I started praying for her. I got louder, I guess, like pastor sometimes does. When he's out, you know, walking in the neighborhood, knows he's already crazy. He's got his card out there. He's got his scripture. He's singing. He's praising. He's worshiping. He's memorizing scripture. And I was a little bit too loud, and I looked around, and there were several people that had already stopped just staring. Well, you know, that's the thing that I believe stops us from being able to be used of the Lord so many times, because we're looking at people. It's not people we're supposed to be pleasing. It's the Lord. And that thing broke as it was, and I thought, well, thank you, Lord, for just presenting that before me, and thank you for reminding me when I went a little bit too far and I should have stopped. And here's the priest. He passed by on the other side, and likewise the Levite, when he was at his place, came and looked at him. At least he stopped. He looked at him, but he went on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. The Lord caught me at that four little words right there. He came where he was. He came to the point on here is where he identified with the man rather than the problem. He came where he was. And I can tell you this here, as God starts to bring people in multitudes into this place that are seeking a refuge for what we're facing coming into this life as we know it, there's going to be a lot of times here in which we have to identify with people where they are. Sometimes people don't tell you. I know on Sunday morning I try to go around and meet everybody I can, especially the ones that I don't know. And a lot of times as you go around here, I'm afraid sometimes they don't get spoken to, but thank God here we've got a bunch of loving people here that do stop by and do go out and take the time in order to stop and find out a little bit more about them. And it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds. See, it's more than just stopping. It's binding up wounds. And it says, pouring oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took 2 denarii and gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, which one of these three thinkest thou that neighbor and him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that did what? He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to them, then why don't you go and do likewise? Why don't you go and do likewise? Chapter number 4 of the book of Luke says this, very familiar scripture. Luke chapter number 4, beginning in verse 16, you know the scripture well. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now that, Pastor, I had to stop at that one. Even Jesus in his time knew what to do on the Sabbath day. Amen. And sometimes it's so easy. It's so easy in order to say, I don't feel good. And sometimes there's legitimate reasons that you can't attend services. But I tell you, every time that I felt like that, and when I was sick and I was tired and I didn't feel well, it was the very time that I had to push on to go anyway. And at the same time, find out that there was something that I needed to hear, or somebody I needed to touch, or some kind of mercy I needed to show. And it came this time from Pastor Pam. And Pastor Gary was sick. Matter of fact, I said, Pam, where's your husband? And she said, he's sick. And I said, what's the matter with him? She said, he said he felt like a truck had run over him. Have you ever felt like that sometime, a truck run over you? Well, I felt like that a lot of time, but that sermon she had for the ladies, I'm glad she said it, because she said it was entitled, Don't Settle. Don't settle, because, you know, God's presenting opportunities all the time for us to be able to serve. And it says he came on the Sabbath, as his custom was. He went to the synagogue and stood up to read, and there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Can you say that tonight? Can you really say tonight that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Because if you say that, it says that because he has anointed you. Do you know the anointing is interesting? Because I remember going to a pastor's conference about 14 or 15 years ago, and the minister up in Ashland, Virginia, was talking about three realms that we see that we don't really sometimes understand. There's three realms, and the lowest of the three realms is the faith realm. That's the place where you exercise your faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the faith realm is a place where things happen all the way through the Scriptures, particularly the New Testament. Every time something happened, sometimes it said, your faith has made you well. Sometimes it was a faith of others that makes you well. But there's another realm up there, and the next one higher is a little bit higher than that, is the anointing realm. You know what the anointing is? It's the yoke-destroying, hello, burden-removing power of God. And when you move in that realm, you see things start to happen. But there's a third realm that usually, and I had never heard of that too much before and didn't pay too much attention, it's that the glory realm. There's a place that you can be in the praise as it's elevated to get into the next one up where worship starts coming through you. And if you stay there long enough and you don't get tired and get up and run away before the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you can enter into a realm that's a glory realm where miracles and signs and wonders begin to happen in a major way. And once you get in that realm, it's such a realm that you'll start to see things and experience things that you probably haven't done too much of before. I've only seen that twice in my life here where I got into that place where that place was. And it's a scary place, but it's a place where the Holy Spirit takes you to. Do you remember in Revelation chapter number 1 and 2, it goes in 3, 2, it talks about seeing Jesus in his resurrected form. Do you remember that? And we saw him not as a babe in a manger, but we saw him holding stars in his hand. He's got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He looked different than what he was when he was down here, and the world's going to see that Jesus the next time he comes around. But in chapter 4, there's only so much you can see in those realms there when you're looking. But in chapter 4, it says, the Spirit of God said, John, come up here a little higher. There's things to see up in this realm here that you're not looking at down there. There's a realm here in which he saw, the very first thing that he saw was the river of God that was flowing out from under the throne. I tell you, I've been in services, and I hope you have, and we'll see more of this later, where I could actually see the water flowing through the aisles, through the congregation here, and the Holy Spirit is saying, if you just get in, if you just get in, I'll do something. I'll heal you. I'll deliver you. I'll remove from you those things that have been hindering you. I'll remove them. And yet, you got to get your foot in the water. Now, I know when the priest was carrying the ark across the Jordan, I know that they encouraged one another and said, we got to get to the other side because Jordan represented their problem. Jordan represents your problem, too. If you can get to the other side, you're going to be okay. What if you were the first priest going in the water, though? I know the back ones and say, hey, you know, hey, Eleazar, going in the water a little deeper. And it's getting up to his neck, but this man's not even in there yet. It's a picture of the problem. I remember this too here, and this I have to depart because the Lord's moving me that way. How many times, you know, has the Lord said something to you like this here? You've got a problem. You've got an issue. You've got something going on that you just don't have the solution for, and you start marching around the problem just like the children of Israel did on moving around Jericho. How many times they go around that wall? How many? I think it was 7. I think it was. And the most unlikely people were out in front, wasn't they? It was the singers. It was the musicians. That's why we got to be sensitive when the music is going on and the praise and worship is going up that it's not just another part of our service. It's something that issues in what's next. And the glory of God wants to fall into that point. But I want to tell you this here. I noticed this here. When I was in Jericho for the first time, I went in down in that area where they said some of the corners of the temple, the building was in, it was actually a fortress. Some of them were there, and they dug down and dug down to the archaeological part of it. And I started seeing it, and those walls didn't just fall down. It looks like the walls actually was pressed into the ground. And I noticed this here. when they were going around, and I've noticed this in problems sometimes, that when I have an issue and I'm having a difficult time dealing with it, they couldn't see what was going on as they was marching along praising God. They couldn't see what was happening. But what was happening is that ground underneath was deteriorating. And let me tell you, that problem that you've been carrying around with you sometimes is deteriorating as you're just moving forward, claiming that the Lord is going to answer your need. He's going to do it. He's moving in your behalf, but you can't see it. And we are so conditioned to go by our sight, aren't we? And we're also so conditioned to move by our feelings. Let me tell you, my emotions get me in trouble, Miguel, all the time. My emotions tell me one thing, and the Word of God tells me another thing. Well, somebody's got to win. And my emotions is not going to win because they have always let me down. And I looked at that here, and I said, okay, it says here in verse 18, He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Let me tell you something about healing the brokenhearted. Most of the people that I see that are having problems kind of hide it inside of a smile or, you know, y'all have done that. I've done that. You put on a smile and you think everything is going around you, but inside there's bruises. Bruises can cause bondages. You don't necessarily see a bruise. And then there's times in which we run across people that are actually brokenhearted. One of my grandchildren, she was going through a divorce. And Belinda, my daughter that you might have met a couple of weeks ago, boy, I'm telling you what, there was a lot of prayers in this church going up to my daughter because my daughter was non-responsive after she had had a seizure and there was no sense of life in her. And I had to head back to Atlanta, and Grace Tabernacle was praying. And God raised her up. God raised her up. The doctors didn't even know what happened. They had no answer. There was no answer what they had. They said, you know, we don't understand what happened. I mean, she was literally had no breath and was put on a machine, and yet God raised up. Good doctors didn't have anything to do with it. They didn't know what to do. But her daughter, my little granddaughter Alicia, had just went through a divorce, and she had only been married 2 months. 2 months. Papers were signed. This husband of hers, she had known since she was a child. He's an Air Force man. Let me tell you, a lot of prayers in my family went up in that case. A lot of prayers went up. And everything was totally, totally hopeless. She was driving around the other night, and all of a sudden here, the Holy Spirit started speaking to her. He said, you got the papers, but you hadn't turned them in yet, have you? She said, no, I haven't. He said, then tear them up. You're not going that route because I've got a plan for you. I got a destiny for you. I've got something out there for you that you haven't even dreamed of yet. Eye has not seen. Ear hasn't heard. Hadn't even entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those that love him. She's riding along. She's listening to the radio. Radio comes on and says, topic tonight is people going through a divorce. People start calling in. We've got marriage that can't work. We're in divorce court. The settlement is horrible. Everything is horrible. And she said, I'm going to call in. She called in and she said, let me tell you what, we were in divorce court, paper signed, everything's done, and God came down and saved my marriage. I just called my husband out there. We're getting together. He's moving back to Atlanta. We're getting a house. They got a house just 2 days ago outside of Atlanta and said, hey, listen, God's in control. Now, folks, I tell you, that's what the power of prayer will do. And it says here, preach those that are delivered and recovering of the sight to the blind and set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he closed the book. He gave it to the minister and sat down. And then in verse 21 it says, and he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. John chapter number 9. John chapter 9, verse number 4, says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. John chapter 15, all of them very familiar scripture. I would encourage you to really, really, really see that, because that's one of the seed plots in the New Testament, chapter 15, and all it has to do about fruit. And you know the scripture very well, probably, because there's four kind of baskets of fruit, as it was. One of them was empty. One of them had a little bit. One of them had a lot. One of them was overflowing. And there's a kind of peculiar verse there in verse number 2. It says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. I have always heard that if you're not producing something that's meaningful for the kingdom of God while God's got you here, that he'll just take you out. Have you ever heard that before? Shake your head. I know you have, because that's what it meant. But that's not what it means. It's interesting what it means, because it doesn't say he takes them away. It says he takes them up in the original. Because that word takes away is a word, A-I-R-O, arrow. And what it means is to take up. I read something about that because it was very interesting, because here was the issue in the vineyard. This was the issue. New branches have a tendency, and that's been new Christians or Christians that have not been in this too long, have a tendency to slip sometimes when they're starting to walk out. And they have a tendency to kind of go down instead of up. And when they go down long enough, talking about the leaves now, the leaves get wet, they collect dust, and they get mildewed, and then all of a sudden here, something's got to happen. Now, that's a picture of what sin, when sin comes into our life, and we're not praising God, and we're not encouraging ourselves in the Lord, and we're not fellowshipping one another, all of a sudden sometimes sin has a way of sneaking in and bringing in discouragement, depression, frustration, worry, fear, and we've all been there. Every one of us have been there. And what it was saying here is that when the vine dresser, which was a picture of the Father, sees that vine lingering down and languishing on the ground in that condition, what it was saying here, the man in the vineyard takes a bucket of water, and he goes down and he gets that branch very tenderly and he washes it clean. That's what the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit does. And when he washes it, he picks it up and he puts it back on the trellis and he binds it up on there so as the sun and the light can get through, and all of a sudden it starts producing the way it was supposed to produce. And that's what God's wanting to do with us. If there's something hindering us and holding us back from being able to produce the fruit that God is wanting to produce, then God is going to reach down and get that bucket of water and he's going to wash you off. And so you might as well let him do it ahead of time, because that's what he wants to do. And he's going to put you back up where you're supposed to be, put you back into fellowship. And once you get back into fellowship here, then the kind of fruit that he wants you to produce begins to produce itself. There's two kind of fruits I noticed. There is an inner fruit that has to do with our thought life and our attitude and our actions. That's inner fruit. Because Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Joy and peace and long-suffering and tenderness. It's got all those ingredients in it that the Holy Spirit is able to produce in us. There's an outer fruit, and that outer fruit is called works. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, I remember many a time here, sometimes I run out of scriptures to try to get people to encourage to tithe and to give first fruits, offerings. But this scripture all of a sudden had a different thing to show me. And verse number 6 says, we're in 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6 says, he who sows sparingly, we know that scripture real well, reaps what? Sparingly. And he that sows bountifully, reaps bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God's able to make all grace. I like that. He lays all grace. Little grace is good. A lot of grace is even better. He's able to make it abound toward you, that you have an all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. All of a sudden, he turns it around a little bit and says there is some works involved in it too. But these are good works. These are works that are produced outwardly by the Holy Spirit. Now, over in Matthew chapter number 12, if you go there just a minute, Matthew chapter number 12, in verse number 18, it says, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show justice to the Gentiles. He will not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Now listen at verse 20. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench till he has sent forth justice unto victory." One thing that's interesting about that, a bruised reed and smoking flax, he's using it as an allegory or an illustration, but what he's really talking about is people, because the fruit that he's wanting to produce is a repetition of himself. He wants to make more like him here on the earth in order to accomplish the kingdom of God, which we're supposed to be issuing in on the earth, just like it is in heaven. When he passes by someone that is bruised, he doesn't just take away their hope or say, "You've got no hope," or "It's never going to work out." It says he doesn't do that. It says here, he will not break it. It's almost broken. Did you know there's people that we pass every day that are almost broken to the point that they just can't go on any further? Hallelujah. Amen. That's the truth. We pass them every day. Because, you know, when I get up, the first thing I ever do when I get up in the morning, I say, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew your right spirit within me." That's what David was praying in Psalm 51. And that's what we need to do, because God's wanting fruit. But it says a bruised reed, he's not going to break it. God's going to put encouragement in it. And if we're moving in the Spirit of God and we're listening to the Lord and we're becoming more like him, we've got to start acting more like him and being more sensitive as the Holy Spirit moves. And it says here that a smoking flax he will not quench. Some people that you're going to come into contact with have got just enough flame in them to get them through the day. But some of them have already given up hope. I remember in a meeting, about 5 or 6 years ago outside of Atlanta, there was a group of people I didn't know, had never seen them before. But down on that first row, there was a lady dressed in black down there, and I kept looking at her and I thinking, something's going on with this lady. I don't even know who she is. And I said, "Lord, what is it?" Because if you ask the Lord what the problem is with people and what it is that you can minister, he's going to tell you. He will tell you. And he told me she thought about committing suicide before she came to the service this evening. And not only that, but she's tried several times. And I want to touch her this evening. I want to bring her out of that. And I spoke to her and I said, "Ma'am, may I speak a word to you?" And she started crying. She said, "Sure." I said, "The very thing that God just told me." And she broke. Well, folks, if you're not sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in everyday life around people that you live around, I mean people that you're around all the time, people that you don't even know, God is saying, "Hey, I want to do something. I really want to do something in life." When Pastor Pam was ministering part of Mark chapter number 5, she was talking about the woman that had the issue of blood. There was a miracle that interrupted that miracle, and they started dealing with the other miracle. And then it went on to the end toward the end of the chapter and started talking about the child that died. And there was the mourners were in there, and, you know, at that time they paid people to mourn. You don't have to pay them nowadays, but It's interesting that Jesus drove out the people that didn't have the faith to believe that God was in control and God could do something. I hope we never become like that. And as he went on to do his what he was doing, which was to heal and raise her up, it's interesting because the last part of the verse, he said, give her something to eat. I looked that up on here, and it's an interesting way that they express it in the original language. It says, change her diet. What in the world is that? Change your diet. And I thought to myself, change your diet. What does that mean? Quit looking at things the way you see them in the natural. Quit saying the things that don't bring any glory and honor to the Lord. Start moving in a way, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so as when the Lord's moving through you, that all of a sudden here you see things break, situations break, the anointing breaks it. Change your diet, which told me sometimes you got to start watching more about what you say. Sometimes you got to watch out more what kind of, when the Bible says you shall declare a thing and it'll be established unto you in Job, sometimes our declarations are the wrong. And God wants us to change our diet. Change our diet of what we're thinking, what we're speaking, what we're acting, because the Holy Spirit's in control. And folks, I want to say this and I'll close. Days coming are going to be interesting days. This house will be full. I don't say that half-heartedly. I tell you, this house is going to be full. But we got to be ready for it before they come. We got to get our act together. I mean, if it's like it happened in Brownsville when that tremendous revival took place, somebody had to be saying, we're 24 hours a day, we've got to have services going. 24 hours a day, we need parking attendants. 24 hours a day, we need people to seat people. 24 hours a day, somebody's got to be there. And when the people were ready, like it was the Field of Dreams, build it and they'll come. The Lord is fixing to open up the windows of heaven, and it won't be just in the finances that comes in. It's going to be in God getting glory and honor and blessing because of what Grace Tabernacle stands for, grace. We are a church of grace. I thank God. God drove me down here with no other body down here in my family. I'm trying to get them to move down here, but nobody will. But I'm here, and I thank God. And I praise God for you. I love you guys. Every time I get away from here, I think, I want to go home. I want to get back to church. And that's the way we should be. Let's stand. Hallelujah. 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 God's good, isn't he? Oh, God's so good. Oh, he hadn't rewarded us according to the way we think ourselves to be and where we've been. He sees the finished product, folks. If you're going through some battles right now, I can tell you God's got a destiny. Didn't he say that in Jeremiah 29? I know the thoughts I think toward you. It's thoughts to give you peace and prosperity. God wants to bless you. God's wanting to bless this church in a major way. God's in control, folks. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come before you tonight, we thank you for your words. We thank you, Lord God, that you're in control. You are ruling and reigning on the throne. Myriads and myriads and myriads and millions of angels are saying, holy, holy, holy. And Lord, you put the anointing upon this church. You put the anointing upon our lives. You're drawing as you wish to draw. You're doing a phenomenal thing, Lord. You're a good God. You're a great God. You're an awesome God. And tonight, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you've shown your grace upon us. Thank you for naming this place Grace Tabernacle. We are people of grace. We're people who've got a destiny. We're people who are going to go somewhere and show the kingdom of God to this community. Hallelujah, Father. And we thank you, Father, that you're in control and you're doing it in your timing. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. And thank you, my brother. We love you. Thank you so much. And amen. And just to add a blessing to that prayer, just lift your hands, okay? And Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your love for us. And Lord, we just thank you for the fulfillment of Scripture. Thank you that... Even Brother Don pointed out, Lord, he prayed for clean hands and a pure heart. And God, thank you that you provided that for us already in Jesus. So we just say thank you for it. Thank you. We just bless your people. Thank you for the grace you've given us to become what you want us to be. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus cause you to grow in godliness and Christ's likeness and boldly declaring the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, to the whole world who needs him. Go out with boldness and go out with faith, go out with great grace, go out with great blessing upon your life. May your every need be supplied, and may you joyfully be a witness of Jesus Christ in this world who desperately needs him, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.